Hi there, everyone. It's James here, and I am sitting with Vanna, and this is the It's Your Move podcast, and we'll be talking about the second installment of our conflict resolution. I guess it's a little bit of a series within a series, so officially we're talking through the, or we're part of the Together series, but this conflict resolution theme is on its second installment, and one to go. Maybe?
One to go, yes.
One to go. But you know, Vanna, sometimes it's... one to go sometimes means three to go.
It could be three to go on one word in the passage.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So just, Vanna, just a couple of follow-up questions just to kind of unpack some of the points. And I think conflict resolution for me is a big theme just because I am by nature a conflict avoider. And you made the point quite early on in the sermon, which was, hey, conflict is a part of life. People are different. You know, you put two people into the same marriage or a friendship or a work scenario or a family, and conflict is going to happen. Now, for someone like me who tends to run away from conflict by nature, it is quite hard to come to grips with the idea that conflict is normal. I feel like when there's conflict, it means that there's something wrong, and to rather run away from it. I mean, any kind of advice for someone like me who hears what you're saying, kind of agrees with it. I mean, I do agree with it, and I do feel like I've grown in it, but I also, there's just a part of me that just kicks away from the idea that this is normal.
No, okay, well, let me say normal doesn't necessarily mean nice or easy, but normal means if you put two sinners, which is all of us, in the same room, or in the same marriage, or in the same family group, you're going to end up having conflict. As a matter of fact, I almost want to say, even if you put one person by themselves, they're going to have conflict with themselves. There was a movie years ago by Tom Hanks, with the Tom Hanks plan, I think Castaway or something like that, and he ends up by himself on the island and he has conflict with himself. So I think the quicker we understand that it's a normal part of life and can be okay if we learn how to resolve it in a God-honoring way, the better our relationships will grow, because now we are actually open to discussion. And I think certainly in the beginning, and I know I've used a lot of examples, marriage examples, but certainly in the beginning of our marriage, Felisa and myself, there was certainly a lot of conflict about small things and silly things, but they came out of hand. It didn't have to be that way if we just did it differently, and it could actually have strengthened our relationship. So I feel like bringing people into the conversation, you and I, you're upset about something that I said to you or did or whatever, and now you bring it up with me in a loving and a kind way, and you're not accusing me, now we can talk through it. And I can understand your perspective, you can understand my perspective, and my belief, as I said in the message, is we're going to both be better off. Our relationship, if we handle it in a God-honoring way, is going to be strengthened. And that's most probably part of what it is, particularly if someone wants to avoid conflict, is seeing it as this will actually strengthen our relationship if it's handled in a God-honoring way. If it's handled poorly, our relationship is going to go backwards and the conflict is going to grow larger.
And I mean, one of the points that has kind of come through the years of marriage counseling and friendship, just spiritual friendships with different couples and different people, is this idea that if you're having a conflict in your relationship, kind of a good place to go is go and talk through it with someone. So you've got this idea of we're not seeing eye to eye, and I'm going to come and spend time with Vanna and Lisa or you know, James and Maura or whoever to talk through it. I wrestle with a stance on that, because there's a part of me that feels like, wow, that's really humble. It's a good idea to go and get help when you're at loggerheads or you're having a conflict. But I think there's also a part of me that's come to feel that, you know, surely a sign of growing in your marriage is that you can actually resolve without someone, or you're able to sit and talk through different conflicts and different issues without needing outside intervention. I mean, is that when it comes to this kind of toolkit, is that kind of the goal here with a couple or an individual who seems to have a lot of conflicts, is that you can actually start resolving these things without intervention? Or do you think it's still kind of should be part of our kind of humility to sit and talk through issues that we have with someone else?
I think as with most things, there would be a yes or no answer, that it is a growing process. Okay, and so the only way that I can know if I'm on the right path is by including other people. So let's take now, again, Lisa and myself, or even in one another relationships that I've been in historically. Beginning in those relationships, I had no idea how to do it. So even in early on in our marriage, when Lisa and I were able to resolve a conflict, we would still pull in other people afterwards and just say, hey, listen, here's just something we want to run by you guys. This is what happened, and this is how we resolved it. We feel resolved. This is how we resolved it. This is the path that we took. What do you think? And there were instances where it was resolved, but they're like, wow, is it really resolved? Or the way that you went about it seems more domineering or swept under the carpet, what have you. And they could come alongside us and actually help us to do it in a godly fashion. And then we did that for many, many years. And so as the years rolled by, we obviously through that help learned as to how to navigate things better. We have not been, and my guess is we'll never be in a point where we never pull people in. But we don't pull people in on a little tiff that we had that we were peacefully and kindly able to resolve. But whenever it escalates or it takes longer, again, I think it's just wise to pull people in and to ask and to say, hey, here's, even if it's resolved, here's how we resolved it. What do you think? This, you have absolutely nothing to lose versus going your own way and keeping it isolated inside of your own marriage, I think has a danger to it, because we are then isolating ourselves from others. I mean, this is not extreme, but there's, I think one of my fears always is Ananias and Sapphira, where they somehow made a deal there that both of them felt happy with, but it didn't seem like they included someone. Again, very extreme example, but I think that puts a holy fear in me that I don't want to land there.
No, and I mean, I do think it's a good point. If I had to think just generally, there are couples and people in our lives where I feel like we know what's going on, and they're very open and transparent, and it's not a shameful thing to have conflicts. And then there's others where I kind of wonder to myself, you know, what on earth is going on there? Is it good? Is it bad? But there just is a lack of kind of openness and transparency, and it's not very endearing, but it's, you know, it's it is something certainly to think about.
And you can also, if someone comes alongside you, they can give you a bit of a mirror view of yourself, like, are we growing in this? So in other words, you've known us for 10 years now, and are we growing in the way that we have resolved conflicts? So I've obviously seen many great situations where people were very, honestly, even coming from positions where it's really almost screaming at each other and resolving conflict. And I'm talking about disciples, okay? And been fascinating to be able to be a witness to see how that transitions and how they learn to listen to one another and seek to understand one another and not see each other as the enemy, but want their relationship to win and be able to work through it. So I've seen that on the one side. On the other side, I've also seen people that have the same level of intensity and disagreements that what they've had 10 years ago. So they've obviously not matured and they are stuck and need to figure it out, because if you're standing still, you're actually not standing still, you're going backwards.
So, I mean, here's maybe a follow-up to that. So, you know, maybe some advice for three kinds of people, three groups of people. So, in my experience, what can happen is a couple will come for help, but the one is very eager for the help, the other is very reluctant. So, you know, maybe it's the husband that's just desperate. Can we spend time? We need to talk through this. And the wife is kind of clamming up. Or vice versa. So you've got two scenarios. One is the eager beaver who has a reluctant spouse. The other is what it's advice to that reluctant spouse, because both of them can be counterproductive. If you're too eager and you're dragging along someone who doesn't want to be there, it doesn't always help. But sometimes you know, the fault does lie with the reluctant spouse. And then the third person or group would be the couple that neither wants to get help. And that's a difficult one because it's a very dark space and I don't know what goes on there necessarily because it's not exposed. But yeah, if you had to think to each one of those people, any kind of specific advice, maybe starting with the eager beaver, then onto the reluctant spouse, and then onto the couple that really, if they think about it, honestly, they're not getting any help.
Okay. So just to understand correctly, eager beaver is one spouse is eager and the other one is not, and they're not sitting in front of you.
Yes. And what advice to the eager beaver who can sometimes not handle it so well?
Yes. Well, I know you said vice versa. I found that 90% of the times the wife is the eager beaver.
I was trying to be politically correct.
And she somehow is dragging her husband into this. And not necessarily with bad intent. The eager beaver most probably needs to be prayerful and considerate and guard against being a Pharisee. First try to bring their partner into the conversation themselves. So when we arrive on the scene, then Lisa and I, we both need a wannabe ear. And let's say it's not a situation like you said, the person number two is not that eager to do it, then that is always something that, let's say it's Lisa and myself, we'll use that as an example. Let's say she's the eager beaver, I'm not. She tries to have the conversation with me and I don't seem to turn a corner. Then she needs to approach mature brothers in my life and ask for their help. And say, hey, listen, I'm a little bit concerned about my hubby. Are you able to talk to him? And so let's say you're not that guy. Now you can come to me and you can say, how's it going? And you can try and untangle why it is that I'm not eager. Is that I'm not eager because I feel like a lamb to the slaughter every time my wife drags me to these things, which in my case doesn't happen, just on a side note. But do I feel like a lamb to the slaughter? Do I feel guilty? Is my heart hardened? But that could be maybe outside of the couples getting together, first helping the individual, whether the husband or the wife, to get to a place where they say, listen, I want help, and it's going to require help for us to navigate that. But it doesn't help that it's not fun if you're in a position where someone doesn't want to be there and not everyone is looking at them. I don't think that's fair. So now what happens if that person doesn't want the help or the couple doesn't want the help? Now, we are speaking in the podcast on a framework of we are saying that we are disciples of Jesus and that his rule and reign is sovereign in our lives. I think that's, again, another discussion to have. I think also in these discussions, which I hope will come through in the sermons and somewhere or in these podcasts, it doesn't make it. Let's say it's you and Maura, and I realize you and Maura, man, you guys are just not open. I'm not going to come to you and say, guys, you guys are just not open to input in your life. What's wrong with you? And you should be open. It would come from Proverbs 25, seeking to understand. So, hey, I would say, hey, Jama, you know, we've now been in a sort of a one another relationship here for 6 months or what have you, and just notice that you don't ever seem to speak really about your marriage. I was just wondering, why are you guys speaking to someone else? Yes, well, who is it? No, we're speaking to my mom. or what have you. And find out, okay, if not, why not? And then try and sort of prayerfully win you over to the need for all of us to have mirrors and people in our lives. But talk it through. If you are completely resistant to that, which this is a long process, this is not one conversation, but if you're completely resistant to it, obviously the question would become at the end of the day, is Jesus still Lord? And do you want him as Lord and master of your life, your marriage, your relationships? And that is a decision that you want to make. And obviously this is not, we can go down a rabbit hole here, but obviously, other questions to then ask around that is, are you guys walking with God? What is your relationship with God like? Are you having times with him? Because the tendency is when we actually are in the Word and we allow the Word to transform us, a lot of these things, I won't say happen naturally, but it's that 2 Corinthians 3:18 scripture that we too, with unveiled face, by all the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into this image from one degree of glory to another. which is from the Spirit doing that work. So if we're in the Word, there should be transformation.
And now
we're actually handling a conflict situation, but I'm not seeking input in my life, but the actual situation is more, I'm not actually walking with Jesus in a great way. I might be doing it legalistically, but I'm not hearing Him. And maybe that's then the first step to try and help untangle. Again, there's so much context to each situation, so it's difficult to say in all of our conversations that I am definitely not a believer and here is the answer. There's so many questions that need to be asked to be able to completely understand the context around the issue, to be able to give, in my mind, a discerning answer, which, again, would only be from my perspective and experience, and I could be wrong.
Yeah, no, amen. I think it is. I mean, I think one of the practicals that we implemented for a long time was more on myself was to try and be in a scenario where we would never bring up something new in the middle of the scenario. So if I was feeling something towards Maura, we would at least have had a conversation beforehand and say, hey, why don't we bring it up with with so and so, just so that there wasn't leaving someone kind of
out of the picture. Yeah,
and hanging out to dry. And there is something that kind of breaks trust if you feel ambushed. Now, I think as we've matured, I think we trust the process a lot more, and so there's less sensitivity. I think when we were younger married, we were quite sensitive to not wanting to be ambushed. I think now we don't care so much. I think just kind of grateful to be able to talk through things. But I do think just from experience, if I had to think of the kinds of people and the kinds of couples that are more closed doors, there's definitely, there's often, it's a wounded soul. There's deep personal things that have built big walls. And I think being able to acknowledge that and start tackling those walls is important, and not just to accept that being closed and walking in darkness is a good way. And it's tough to break those things down, but it is part of the healing process, and you'll be a happier, better, walking more close with the Lord kind of person if you do. And the other one is obviously pride. I think there's a lot of self-righteousness and just being deceived, and hey, everything's fine. And if you do by nature struggle with pride and you tend not to be very good at being vulnerable, that is something to tackle within your own relationship with God, and you'll be a better husband, a better wife, a better disciple, a better person just if you do tackle those things.
There could be 50 reasons as to why you are that way. I think the thing that I'm trying to get at with some of this Proverbs 25 stuff is that if I'm your mentor, your accountability partner, your one another prayer partner, whatever you want to call it, I have to try and figure out where you are coming from. Is it the past where you were always shut down? Is it that people have said hurtful things to you? Is it that you are just proud and super defensive? There could be 50 reasons why, and I need to try and determine with your help, I'm trying to seek which it is, and then figure out how I can come alongside you to try and help you break through those challenges.
That's nice. So here's one, maybe not to go into too much detail, but you did mention it, and I just wanted to just ask one follow-up question. So you mentioned, yes, there are superficial conflicts, and then there's the deeper stuff that has been building for many years, and it's just created a serious roadblock in a friendship, in marriage, and it's very obvious that more help is needed. This is not just a, hey, let's talk through it, and then afterwards everything's fine. What is the starting point if this is now some real serious stuff here and we haven't attended to it?
Most probably I'm going to answer very similar on most of these things, is bring other conversation partners into the mix to be able to say, so let's say I have a very deep conflict with you that I feel like it's not this little kit of you're not the enemy and this and that and this and that. That kite ain't flying here. This has been 10 years of damage. That is obviously will require a lot of prayer and other conversation partners. So the other conversation partners can give me the wisdom to see, hey, maybe this just needs time. Let's say it is a marriage or a close friendship, and actually you might need some professional help, that we consider looking at that and how we can Can we facilitate that for you? Can we help you with it? Again, come alongside you to help you see it. And many of those, I mean, and this is such a wide topic, but obviously there can be conflict because of alcohol abuse. There can be conflict because of verbal abuse. And now we're in a whole different conversation, because now we are talking about someone being abused. And I know I'm saying this, someone's probably going to open a can of worms, but where boundaries need to be drawn. And I think sometimes disciples think that I can just be abused. Where no, I don't have to be abused by my spouse. I can, if my spouse needs professional help and is currently a danger to me or to our family, I do believe I can say to them, listen here, I love you, I want to have this relationship, but currently you have a problem that you don't seem to see, and I think that we need to part ways here for a moment for you to try and figure that out, maybe get professional help. And I want to be married to you, I want to make this work, I want to be great, but this is a stumbling block. Again, don't just go and do that. Bring conversation partners, and we are super blind to ourselves. And by bringing other wise and discerning and spiritual people into the mix, they can say, dude, I don't have a problem. You have a problem. Or, it's considered, but consider doing it in this way. How do I do something like that wisely? So it's a, I would say many advisors makes victory sure. And let me just throw in there as well, the right advisors, people that are have experience with it, people that are spiritually ahead, that can give you counsel, and don't rush into any of these things. Seek counsel, pray. But I do think there are many things. I'm not a professional counselor. I can help people with the Bible. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a trained Christian counselor or what have you. So there are certain things that, that people need, people that can help them untangle untangle that.
No, that's good. That's good stuff there. So here's something that I've been guilty, and we can maybe start winding down here. So you go through this toolkit or this first aid kit of conflict resolution from both sides of the conflict. And as a participant in the audience during a sermon like that, I sit there and I think, absolutely, that's brilliant. It's step by step. That's how it should be. And every part of me is going, yes, yes, yes. And then in a scenario, you know, it's not like that's wired into my system. So I heard it. It's very practical. I agree. There's no fight from me in terms of what you're saying there. But it's not part of who I am. The old James still comes up in the moment. Any more advice on just how do you bridge that gap? I mean, it's just so clear in the sermon, and yet it's so not maybe part of my life. How does one continue to build towards that?
I think this is most probably one of our biggest challenges for most of us with every form of change that we need to bring about, or that God calls us to reflect His image into the world, is intentionality and the principle of the path of my direction, not my intention, determines my destination. So obviously all of us have lots of good intentions, but our direction determines our destination. And I think all of us somehow miraculously feel like we just want to miraculously be transformed, and somehow becoming a Christian, I'm just going to miraculously be kind and humble and what have you. And we try to be godly instead of trying to be godly. And with these things for myself and with many areas, and obviously I failed at it again and again. But how this conflict resolution kit came about was for myself realizing that I'm not handling conflict in a good way. And that I need to come up with some form of plan that will help me to do it. And so this had to be trained into my soul. So what would happen is I came up sort of with these ideas, realized here's where I make my mistakes, here's where the Bible can give me some guidance. And then to pray through it every day and to reflect on it every day. So to look back and say, okay, how did yesterday go? Were there any conflict situations? With Lisa, with the kids, with friends, if you had work situations? And were these things front and center? Did I think through the lens of who's the enemy? Remember who the enemy is. Did I think through the lens of be self-controlled and alert? Did I think through the lens of first get a godly perspective? And honestly, I've had to go through this since I came up with this however many years ago, again and again, sometimes at least once a week, sometimes more than that, where I'm literally sitting there and those things pop in my mind. I say, okay, this is going to be, this shit can go wrong. who's the enemy.
But train
so that I prepare for the moment. Also, when I'm moving into situations that I know can cause conflict, I need to go and prepared and again go through that grid. And this is my grid. Everyone needs to come up with their own grid. But it's not going to happen overnight. You don't build buff muscle and you don't go to the gym one day and you're good to go. You don't watch a training video and now you can bench press 100 kilograms. But we want it that way. We want to just be able to bench press it. And then we go with the guilt card of now I feel guilty that I don't do it, that I'm not like it. And then we go with, well, where's God's grace? And we completely lose our way. Instead of saying, you know what, we need to partner with God and embrace His grace through the different stuff that He's doing and work it out. And understand, and I've said this historically as well in some of the other sermon, 2-degree difference. So plus 2 or plus 1. I'm not going to be superhero tomorrow, but can I be 2% better this week than last week, and 2% better the next week? And if you do that for 50 weeks, you're 100% better in a year. If I just nudge forward on these character issues.
Yes. Well, look, I think, I was wondering whether to say it in the podcast or not, but one of the thoughts that did come to mind is, you know, if I had to think of the fruit that has been born in my life over the last, you know, however many years of marriage and discipleship, just from improving in my view of conflict versus how I was brought up and my nature, it really has borne just so much joy and so much happiness and so much closeness in my relationships, just being willing to grow in this area. And I know I've still got a long way to go. So as you're going through the sermon, I was thinking, okay, do I know these points off by heart? And there was a part of me that thought, there's no ways that this is going to become or I'm going to grow in this particular area unless these terms are somehow in my memory banks that at least I can go from there into living them out. So I do think that there's an element certainly for myself where I can leave and say, hey, that was a great sermon on conflict resolution, but you go and ask me what the 5 points were, and I'd be like, I remember the person's not the enemy, and I'd most probably get it a little bit confused. But I do want to encourage. I mean, you know, it's certainly on my list. Is I can't put this into practice if I don't even remember what was said, or it's, you know, the points were very carefully put together from practice and from experience, but I've got a vague picture of what they are. And I do want to encourage you, if this is an area of need for you, whether it's in your marriage or in your friendships, and you tend to be someone who has a lot of conflict, or you're around people who maybe at work are very difficult to be around with, I want to encourage you, you know, get your notes, write it out, and at least know the points.
At least know the points, and I'm not repeating myself here, but these are my points. They might not work for you.
Yes.
You need to figure out, biblically speaking, if you look at these things, what are some things that resonate with you that when you're in the heat of the moment there, that can bring you calm? Again, that you can remember. I mean, this weekend I had a situation where I literally, conflict was brewing. I literally had to say to myself, okay, who's the enemy? It's not this person, it's Satan that's behind them. Okay, and that needs to be clear in my head. Be self-controlled. That I want to get emotive now. I want to get emotional about this situation. Take it to God. Don't speak now. Okay, if I speak now, it's going to go the wrong direction. So, but it's mine. Everyone needs to work out their own, and certainly not feel compelled that they must now go and memorize these points. I would just say, even if you got one or two things in a toolkit, just have a toolkit.
Amen, bud. Well, listen. I don't know if you've got an apology for Steph and Brett, just for picking on them in the sermon. I think now would be an appropriate...
No, thank you. Thank you for that opportunity.
I'm just teasing.
Most probably a good lesson to learn here is don't sit in the front row. That would be one. And then two, try and keep your facial expression inward, obviously. And they shame. I hope that they... I'll almost probably have to give them a call, is didn't feel offended by it in any way. That was just, they became a point of reference on a very simple, simplistic thing, which I think so many of us bump heads on, and that was the point that I was obviously trying to make. Those guys are superstars. I think they're awesome in so many ways, and so grateful to have them here with us in Cape Town.
Well, while we're on that point, I'm not too sure if I remember you ever apologizing to me for for saying nasty things for me about me from the pulpit. So maybe now's a good opportunity. No. I don't want you to say anything. I know it's not going to be sincere.
No, it's but what I'm remembering is that you're not the enemy. I feel self-controlled. No. I'll have to go and pray about it.
Amen.
But I'm really sorry, James.
Amen. I forgive you, bud. I forgive you.
I appreciate it.
But look, there's obviously, you know, there is more that we could talk about, and we've got more podcasts to come. So I'm sure, you know, we can circle back to some of these things in the future. But yeah, Vanna, thank you very much, and we'll speak again soon.
Amen. Just a reminder again of the CTCRC communicator phone number is 076-166-0216. If that comes through on WhatsApp, and then again with the WhatsApp group, no one will be able to comment on it. It will just be a message of communication. And if you're on the group and you don't want the podcast, you don't want to be part of the communication, you're welcome to just exit the group and no one will judge you. Well, guys, I hope you have a wonderful rest of the week.